What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the EG3 show right here on kcsportsradio.com and JPEG Sports Network. I am your host, Eddie Greer. For those of you who are just tuning in for the very first time or have been listening throughout most of the season, the EG3 show is all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. We are in playoff mode, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. On this episode this week, it's all about the Cup Series. A little change up for you guys this week, and it will be weaving in and out between the Xfinity Series and towards the end of today's broadcast, the Camping World Truck Series race at Las Vegas. Let's dive on right on into the Monster Mile, where Kyle Busch capped off a tremendous comeback last weekend from 4 seconds back to chase down Chase Elliott and score back-to-back wins in the playoffs to end the round of 16. And momentarily, we'll get to the drivers who did not make it to the next round, the round of 12 beginning this weekend in Charlotte. Kyle Busch, this is the second time that a JGR driver has rallied back from behind to win a race. Earlier, before the playoffs started at Darlington, it was Denny Hamlin that got the job done. But, of course, it is put an asterisk next to that, that his team got penalized after a few days, not passing post-race tech. Obviously, when you turn the page to the Kyle Busch situation, they did pass tech, so there are no issues there. But yes, the big story, if this 18 team did not stumble on its toes out of the gate at Chicagoland, we would be sitting here talking about 3 consecutive wins to begin the playoffs. Before even the playoffs even started, Kyle Busch talked about not being on the 78's level, 78 being the Martin Truex Jr. car, who has been on top of their game, on his game, all year long. And Kyle Busch, probably in my opinion now, is there, if not past him, just a tidbit here as we get ready for round 12. And of course, Kyle Busch goes into Charlotte not winning this at this track, and this is the only track that he's not won at. Of course, he won at Homestead a few years ago on his route to his first championship. Well, he's at that level right now, and they have found the extra gear. But there's always that question, that is it peaking too early? Of course, you have to be consistent throughout the rounds and get top fives, top tens, somewhere in there, and maybe get a win to move you on through the rounds. But Kyle Busch, once again, showed why he's, of course, one of the more talented drivers, as I keep saying on the pod, in this generation. Obviously, you got the young guns have showed their way this year, with the Ryan Blaney's, the Chase Elliott's, the Kyle Larson outcoming party continuing all the way through to this point. So there are a lot of variables out there. But of course, the playoffs, this is a new round and new adventures. And obviously, you're going to run into obstacles that you're going to have to face at some point, like the 18 team did in the opening round. They did not finish in the top 10 at Chicagoland, thanks to the penalties on pit road trying to break in Daniel Suarez's former pit crew team. But other than that, this team, once again, ever really since Charlotte, the Coca-Cola 600, like I keep saying on the podcast, this team has been lights out, along with the 78 and the 42 back and forth. But it's been lately, yes, the 42 won the regular season finale, then the 78 won the opener of the postseason. Kyle Busch has won the last two. So now it becomes, can the 78-42 make the next answer? We're going to find that out here on Sunday. You're listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. On the flip side, the man who finished in the second spot, yes, that being in Chase Elliott, what happened? He had a, I wouldn't say commanding lead, but he had an all right lead, being in 4 seconds back. Obviously did not hang on, but what happened in those 10 laps is beyond me. Obviously going through lap traffic, trying to elude drivers, trying to put them a lap down or even more lap down. Obviously came up to the car of Ryan Newman, who was trying to fight so hard to get in the next round. Obviously he fell 2 points short to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. We'll get into that momentarily as well, and how Stenhouse was able to get on to the advance onto the next round. Elliott, here was I thinking that he, my other Georgia boy, Georgia native, he was going to finally get that win and put himself into the next round. Win and you're into the next round. Obviously, Elliott was hit with the penalty after scoring a run-up finish at Chicagoland. That obviously didn't count because of the post-race infraction there after the race. But Elliott, he's been good as well. And once again, you know, Chase is going to be very hard on himself after this race. And you got to know in the back of his head, with a hat lap and a half to go, Elliott could not hang on. And yes, why did he not at least try to take away the high line of Kyle Busch? You know he's going to try something to try to be a little bit more faster, be a little bit more creative with trying to get more speed out of the 18. And he was moving at a frequency. Elliott was being consistent with lap times, but when it came down to it, Newman was battling to try to stay on the lead lap, hoping for that late caution. Didn't get it. Elliott could not hang on, and as advertised, very, very dejected after this race, was over hands, over basically a face palm after this race was over. Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, and others tried to console him there. But yes, you know Elliott's going to be very disappointed in himself that he didn't get the job done, and he puts it all on himself pretty much. But where was a spotter? 10 laps to go. Where was a spotter, Eddie Hunt, when Chase needed him? You saw that Kyle Busch was going to the high side, making good lap time. Pretty much, the way that I heard the communication, Eddie seemed to be laid back a little bit. He did say one thing. It was going to come down to between him and the 18, which it did. And in kind of walk-off fashion, Kyle Busch passed Elliott on the high side. And it was all she wrote. But why did Chase Elliott try to at least attempt to run Kyle Busch's line, try to take that away from him? Is, I have no idea why. Obviously, I didn't listen to the entire communication within the last 10 laps, because the battle was for the last driver to try to get in to transfer into the next round. But again, reasons why Chase Elliott missed out on possibly more points. Obviously, he didn't get the points at Chicagoland that he didn't earn. Well, at least a playoff point they earned winning that stage at Chicagoland. Wasn't pocketed thanks to the infraction. So 5 points would have been huge for that 24 team, and Alan Gustafson and Jeff Gordon still in that top of that pit box, rooting for Chase to get in victory lane. Obviously, Chase wanted to make a goal before returning to his family number, the 9 car, that he wanted to put that 24 into victory lane. That did not happen. Now we turn to Charlotte, where he has the opportunity to bounce back. Now, this is going to be huge for him to do exactly that. And he can't afford, with the points reset now, and the plow points that you earn, like Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, who won a stage last weekend as well, Kyle Larson winning his first stage of the playoffs also last week. Those transfer add-on to the plow points that you earn in the regular season move on. Elliott did not have those. So, for those guys, between probably Stenhouse all the way on down, maybe Harvick as well, maybe even go up a couple of notches to Denny Hamlin as well, those guys cannot afford mistakes. We saw it last year at Charlotte with a couple of issues with a 22, and even Denny Hamlin himself also having trouble as well, but somehow was able to move on thanks to strategy at Talladega, riding in the back and then going up to the front at the end of this race. That will not happen this year, with Talladega being the second race of the round of 12 years to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com, breaking down Dover, the final race of the round of 16, which Kyle Busch won in dramatic fashion, overtaking Chase Elliott with a lap and a half to go. Such heartbreaking. We're going to find out here this week what this team's got. And of course, the margin of error is actually, really, to me, very, very small in this round because of, you know, the stage points and whatnot. That could be huge when we go to Kansas City here in 2 weeks. If you don't have stage points, that's going to be very tough for you to kind of lean back on. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the top four or five if they get into trouble here, especially in this first race, which is very, very critical. Why? Because Talladega, that dreaded wild card event, Talladega, where anything can happen, and everyone's already saying, yeah, Ricky Stenhouse, he's already into next round. He got to win first. We already know what he can do. The last two plate races, Talladega and Daytona, he's won. So obviously, he's going to be a favorite. Everyone's pretty much passing him a shoe to get in that next round. And, I mean, you have to look at everyone else as well. It's not going to be very easy. So, and for Stenhouse, he can't rely on Talladega. He's got to go out here to Charlotte, and obviously Stenhouse did transfer into the next round thanks to stage one, where he obviously tried to stay out as long as he possibly could and can. And if he is able to put together, sorry, I'm bouncing around a little bit around the leaderboard from the Apache Warrior 400, but Stenhouse was one of the main stories coming out of Dover. If Stenhouse can come out of Charlotte and Kansas, he ran pretty decent in a night race earlier this year. He ran okay. But if he can come out of here with at least a top 12 finish between Charlotte and Kansas, at least top 12, and possibly earn state. Now, he got to stay out of trouble now at Talladega. Earn those stage points, stage one, stage two. Maybe try to even win one of those. He's got a shot to get to the next round now. He's going to have some help. Some of these drivers are going to have some help from the guys above to have trouble, especially early at Charlotte. Interesting to see, but Stenhouse can't be running 15th. On back. It ain't gonna cut it. It's just not gonna cut it. And he clearly admitted on one of the interviews that team don't have the speed. That's obvious. But the fight is clear, and that is why the 17 team is in this position right now, because they scrap for every position on the racetrack, and that's what's gonna have to do moving forward. That's gonna have to do the same thing. They're gonna have to be a little bit better at Charlotte and Kansas City here in this round. They're going to even taste an opportunity to be that Cinderella, get to that next round, and maybe have a chance to stick in that final four. Maybe I'm thinking too far. But first things first for that team, that they're going to have to clean up the mistakes. Some of these teams are like Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, just to name a few. Now, this 12 driver section right here is loaded. And you make a mistake, especially not getting stage points early, that could really cost set you back. So that is why the first race is always important every round. That's why, because if you're able to make a mistake, a fortunate mistake, can you come back from it? Or getting in a wreck, that could be signs of huge trouble. Basically, what I'm trying to say is the first race is very, very important to get off to a very, very good start. Whether it's a win, even if you cannot win it. A top five is big in the books, and add on to that more stage points as you go along. And we saw a lot of consistency from the 78 team. Basically, for example, finishing in the top five in all, including a win at Chicago, Martin Truex Jr., the number one seed coming into the playoff, overall seed coming into the postseason. And he faced adversity in the first race of the postseason. Not once, but twice, and still came back to win because of the strong car that he had at Chicago. He's going to be up in there at Charlotte, and he very well knows it, that he's got to get off to a good start and cannot step on your own toes. Expect, even with that lead, now that lead between Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, it was 20, and Kyle Busch was 24 behind going into Chicago. Kyle Busch cut into that. It's now 18, and it is possible that if Kyle Busch continues at this pace, he could very well close in on Truex, assuming Truex, Larson, and Kyle Busch, the big three in NASCAR this year, were to go in advance into the round of eight. So again, that number one spot is huge right now. And the way I got a feeling that the regular season and all that's worth right now between those three drivers, it could be huge when we enter the round of eight. You're listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. So the picture is starting to really take shape. And then you have Jimmy Johnson turning the page back a little bit. Jimmy Johnson, these NBC commentators, I tell you, they at least maybe 20, 25 times might have said that Jimmy Johnson, here comes Jimmy Johnson. Oh, here comes 11 time Jimmy Johnson to the front. Jimmy Johnson, here we go. Gonna make a move. Now, we all as fans and spectators, well, maybe half the fans, some are probably new to the sport. We all know that Jimmy Johnson is a multi-winner at Dover. And he came to play last week at Dover. And now he goes into another one of his tracks where he won at last year to transfer in to the round of eight last year. And it was a day race because last year, I believe it rained out, turned into a day race. And boom, Jimmy Johnson, he was in the mix all day long, capitalized on a couple of mistakes. And there was a big one to remember last year between a couple of the contenders, Austin Dillon, Truex, Chase Elliott was involved, and a couple more other cars. So definitely you don't know what's going to happen on every lap. Jimmy Johnson showed up at Dover last week. And it's going to be interesting to see if that momentum carries over and the 48 wins. It could really screw up everything else. He is the biggest wild card to me in this whole thing. Obviously, we know the mission that he's on, trying to be that guy to stand alone to win 8 championships. It is still alive. You know, I talked about him all summer long being the groundhog guy. You know, where is he at? Well, he showed up last week, and now we'll have to see if that momentum, Big Mo, can carry on through here. You know, it's interesting to hear Chad Knaus say on NASCAR Race Hub that he basically almost carries the same kind of type of setup at Dover, carries over to Charlotte. It's very interesting Considering the success that he's had on both racetracks, it's not surprising that this combination, crew chief driver combo, has had a lot of success at these two tracks. And yes, Talladega is a crapshoot, but again, it's 48. This team wins. And Jimmy said that they're in a position now that they want to start qualifying better, and that's probably problem number one for them. They got to start qualifying better if they're going to get stage points, and this is going to be huge for them. They have maybe a slight little wiggle room, but not much at all when the points reset here moving forward. And so Jimmy Johnson finished third in this race. Martin Truex Jr., a strong fourth. We didn't see the long run speed out of that car like we custom have seen pretty much all year long, but he was right in the mix. He led just over 50 laps in this race. Truex, three consecutive top fives. It should be four, but not for Derek Coate. But hey, Truex, three consecutive top fives, and he's going to be right there in the top dog. One of the drivers to talk about going to Charlotte. Opportunities right there for him at two to at least get a win, or maybe at least continue to be consistent and start off strong. Didn't do that last year. Well, had a strong race going last year and then had a clutch issue. And then it really kind of was a big thud to their championship hopes. And we obviously know what happened. Kansas wasn't Truex-like. And then obviously we all know what happened at Talladega. Blown engine. One of two blown engines. And was eliminated with Brad Keselowski, who dominated the Talladega race. And then his engine, thanks to a piece of debris, cost his chances to get into the next round. So, yeah, this race, I think, is the biggest one of the year. Maybe outside Talladega a little bit, but this Charlotte race is huge, in my opinion, because of the Talladega factor and all that in the Miz, because of the stage points and whatnot. So, we'll see what happens. And then there's the other third person, Kyle Larson, finishing fifth and winning his first stage, as I mentioned in this segment. Larson gets a playoff point and now move on, transfer along with his playoff points as well. The rest of the top 10, including the playoff driver leading Clint Bowyer, finishing in the sixth position. Dale Earnhardt Jr., how about a huge shout out to Junior Nation, Dale Earnhardt Jr., finally putting pretty much together a solid weekend. We've been hearing pretty much the last 2 months probably that he's fast and qualifying, competitive in practices, but we don't see that translate. Finally, a strong weekend put together for Dale Earnhardt Jr., finishing in the seventh spot, and he'll be racing at the last time at Charlotte Sunday afternoon. Daniel Suarez, 8th. Jimmy McMurray finished 9th. And he moves on into the round of 12. Finally getting out of the round of 16 for the first time in his career after being eliminated his first two times in this very same round. And Brad Keselowski, who won stage 1, finished in the top 10. EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Continuing the round of 16 wrap-up, and tomorrow begins a new round for the Monster Energy Cup Series 12, battling to try to move on to the round of 8. You win, you transfer in, no matter what. That's what makes this format so intriguing. You don't know what's going to happen. Basically, round and round, Kyle Busch. Again, if he doesn't, that team, the pit crew, don't stumble, we're talking about him sweeping that entire round. Each round has its own identity. It'd be interesting to see what we start off with Sunday afternoon, kind of bouncing around playoff drivers. Now, down here, the next one is outside the top 10 in Matt Kenseth. Thought we would see him up there battling for the race win. That didn't really happen. Finished in 11th spot. Down here, Ryan Newman, who was eliminated from playoff contention, finished in the 13th spot. More on him in the next segment. He and Jeff Gordon, interesting, get together after the end of this race. Down here, the next one, Austin Dillon was also eliminated. Finished 16th. Kevin Harvick was up there in the top five before a pit road mistake. Again, there's those mistakes again that you cannot have, especially in this round of 12. If you expect to move on even further on in the playoffs, Harvick finished 17th. Kurt Busch, biggest surprise of the playoffs so far, in my opinion. I had him at least going into the round of 8, thanks to the momentum that he built in the last 3 or 4 races, being competitive, being up front for a chance to win. Kurt Busch, 20th, and he had a whole bunch of mistakes, especially capped off really by that wreck at New Hampshire last week, 2 weeks ago, I should say, that really kind of put him in a hole. And then Chicago had a top 10 run going towards the end. Looked like he was going to finish in the top 10, but that did not happen. Had to go in for somewhat of a loose wheel, and then it compounded with a pit road penalty. So again, you see where I'm getting at. I've been talking about this for the last 3 weeks. Playoffs, can't make mistakes. Kurt Busch, 20th. Ryan Blaney had an off day, 23rd. He can't have any more of those. He expect to move on in the round of 8. Denny Hamlin, if I'm looking at here, is the last playoff driver. He does move on, but finished 35th. Those finishes, especially for those guys that are 20 points and below, you can't have mistakes pretty much. If you're past Keselowski, maybe you have at least that wiggle room. But if I think correctly, I think below, probably around Keselowski, it's really tight on down. Stenhouse is 10 points. Chase Elliott's going to be wishing that he had a few of those points by the end of this round if he doesn't move on. But Chase Elliott, I think, is intriguing. He has an opportunity here this week to bounce back. He was in the conversation in last year's race, leading over, I believe, I'll have it pulled up here. I ain't looking at it right now. Over at least 35 laps in the same race last year. So again, Hendrick Motorsports, other than Casey Kane, they showed up to play. But what we're looking at is Chase Elliott, and of course, the defending champion, 7-time champ, Jimmy Johnson. So again, interesting. We'll have the measuring stick out again here on Sunday. We'll see who gets off to a good start here and who does not. All right, folks, time to take our first break of the afternoon right here on the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. When we come back, to flip the script on the other side, the drivers who did not make it on the course, Ryan Newman has some words for Jeff Gordon at the end of this race. And of course, we'll have Behind the Wheel here after segment 2. We will be with Kyle Busch and Adam Stevens for the second straight week on how they pulled off the walk-off. You're listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. EG3 show is back right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Eddie Greer in the house, as usual, for the EG3 show. Playoffs. Off and rolling. Camping World, Xfinity, Monster Energy, the three biggest divisions in all of motor sports. The Xfinity Series raced at Dover last weekend as well. And the Xfinity drivers, playoff drivers at least, 0-2 so far in their playoffs. Ryan Blaney steals the show at Dover with his victory in a nice moment after this race was over. Blaney giving a checkered flag to a young fan sitting on the front stretch out there. That was a great gesture. Probably at least up there in my books as one of the favorite ones so far. We still have 7 weeks to go, but Ryan Blaney gets it done. The leading playoff driver in this, Justin Allgaier, who finished in the second spot. William Byron finished third. Daniel Hemric's been in the news. Fourth, Brendan Poole, fifth, Matt Tiff, sixth. The next playoff driver down, Cole Custer, eighth, Elliott Sadler, ninth. Brennan Gaughan outside the cutoff, heading in to their first elimination race of the playoffs. Brendan Gaughan is sitting 2 points behind Ryan Reed for that final transfer spot. That's going to be fun to watch this weekend. Michael Annette has work to do, 11th. Then go down here to Ryan Reed, who finished 16th. That's not going to get it done if he expects to move on. Blake Koch, 19th. And then Jeremy Kmetz, long shot, finished in a 24th spot. Again, the Xfinity Series, first elimination race on Saturday afternoon. Gone. It looks like pretty much it comes down to this. Brendan Gaughan and Ryan Reed. Unless something crazy out the blue happens, it's going to come down to those two. And of course, have to be aware of any unexpected turns in this race. But again, the biggest part so far, no playoff driver has won a single race yet. I know we're getting close to the end of their first round, but that's at least a little bit alarming to say the least, especially with Kentucky. That was a good opportunity for somebody in this playoff bubble to get a win. That did not happen thanks to Tyler Reddick spoiling the party. Justin Allgaier has been pretty strong here to open up the playoffs here so far. Daniel Hemric, by the way, I mentioned him. Hemric has been in the news for good and bad. The bad, he's going to lose three of his main team members, including the crew chief, car chief, and one of the engineers, for messing around with the setup or something to do with the car and its balance or whatever. 4-race suspension for that gang. Hemric, the good side is he will be back in the 21 next year for Richard Childress Racing on the Xfinity Series side. So, wow. So, kind of up and down week for Daniel Hemric. And surprisingly enough, he didn't lose any points. So, definitely surprising. Then that could have been huge for that Ort team right there. Especially a team that maybe some people think that he can be that fourth guy to challenge the trio of Junior Motorsports. I had Cole Custer challenging them. But it was a tight between Cole Custer and Hemric. But obviously, no more mistakes, and this could be huge going forward, especially moving on in to the next round, which I think Hemric will move on to the next round, but that team cannot afford any more space, and now you're three guys down. Be interesting to see how Hemric and that team responds going forward. EG3 show is rolling right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Social media, real quick, facebook.com/EG3show for the latest updates there. We're getting down to business here. 16 down to 12. Also, Twitter handle at the EG3_show. And then you want to link up with me on my own Twitter page. That's going to be at @EdEddie_EG3. So again, the Xfinity Series in action. Before we turn the page back to the Cup side here, this Saturday, obviously, Saturday afternoon, for the Drive for Cure 300, it's going to be on PRN on the radio side on Saturday at 2 Central Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. And on television, NBC, SN has will have flag-to-flag coverage of that. Again, this is an elimination race. The field will be down to 8 after this race is over. Again, the Xfinity Series field, if we start off with 12, goes down to 8. And then after Phoenix, it goes down to the final 4. And again, the same rules apply to all sport, all levels. You win, you automatically, immunity, go on to the next round. All right, folks, back to the finale in the round of 16. Again, the drivers who did not make it, Kasey Kahne. We all pretty much know that Kasey Kahne wasn't going to be competitive. You know, he got that win in Indianapolis. That was probably a little luck at that crazy race unfolded. Kahne, a non-factor in the playoffs, he's out. And I talked about the surprise of the playoffs, at least so far to this point. That is Kurt Busch, the momentum that he built so hard for, especially the last 3 races, most notably really Darlington and Richmond. And then even the races before that, Bristol, he was a factor as well. And then that's so all sort of just went away. You talk about each round having its own identity. Well, Kurt Busch and that 41 team couldn't get a break to go away. Speeding on pit road, had a loose wheel, and then it compounded some more. And then being involved in that wreck, and then gave it all. Kurt gave it all he had. But yeah, that kind of, if you peak too early, sometimes you can peak early, and then when it comes down, you know, it could vary sometimes. So it's very, this sport is very, very strange. So, but Kurt Busch out of the playoffs, and then the RCR double of Ryan Newman, Austin Dillon did not advance to the next round. So RCR is out of the playoff picture in 2017 until next year. Austin Dillon, who transferred in to the round of 12 last year with a tremendous race, was bogged down thanks to the strategy move of the 17, which threw everybody off. I said it last week on the podcast that stage points was going to be the key factor in who would move on and who would be eliminated from the round of 16. And Dillon and Ryan Newman were the bitch and fanny, were actually really on the wrong side of it. Ricky Stenhouse, if Jeffrey Earnhardt doesn't spin out, we might be talking about Stenhouse probably being out of the playoffs. Instead, those 7 points that he earned in stage 1, put it in the bank. Stenhouse is now a factor in the round of 12 thanks to Talladega being in the second race of the stretch. Next week is Talladega. Kansas is 2 weeks from now, and we are pumped up for that race. That pretty much that entire weekend elimination race and all the first elimination race for Kansas Speedway going to go down in 2 weeks, and Talladega is going to set up definitely a dramatic scene at Kansas, as we're going to be putting 8 drivers to advance, or probably when we get there, either depending on the situation, either 1 or 2 drivers could be already in depending on the situation. But yes, Newman, you know, giving all he had, of course, being the toughest guy in NASCAR to pass, couldn't do it. And running into Jeff Gordon afterwards, Gordon had some words for him. And Newman not happy. And of course, Newman just got out of the car, you know, trying so hard, and learned that he did not pass, did not get into the next round. Probably it was frustrated. And those two had some words. That was interesting to see a little post-race confrontation. It's only going to go up from there, especially when the stakes are so high now. And was Jeff Gordon in the wrong here? Maybe just a little bit. But I can see from his point of view as well, Jeff Gordon, you know, being the owner of that car, wanting to see Chase do so well and it come up short, being hawked down like that, basically kind of like a track race, like a 200 or 400 meter race where you have a lead, you think you got it, and then somebody else steps up their game even more and zooms right by you. That's what happened with Chase Elliott and Kyle Busch there. Jeff Gordon also frustrated watching Elliott's lead evaporate, and then seeing Kyle Busch on the high side go around your car, and yep, you saw the reaction of Alan Gustafson throwing a water bottle after empty water bottle after the race was over. So yeah, definitely tensions high and missed opportunities, missed points. Also here, playoff points that could have transferred him in. Now that for Chase Elliott would have been 6 playoff, extra playoff points transfer in. Now he's had a couple of stage wins, and including a couple of points for finishing in the top 10. But Chase Elliott, I mean, again, I said it in the first segment, that could be huge if you were not to advance. But Chase Elliott, I think, he's going to show up this week. I think it's a must for that team to get off the snot here, and not necessarily snide, but get off what happened last week, shake it off, and move on. This is a new round, new playing field, but the playing level is reset, and you have an opportunity to go out there and win and move on to the round of 8. Just, you know, sometimes, you know, you miss opportunities, but if you catch it at the right time, it can really benefit you. Just ask Ben Rhodes what happened in the Camping World Truck Series. More on Ben Rhodes falling behind the wheel right here on the EG3 show here on KCSportsRadio.com. But yes, those are the 4 drivers who will not be a part of this round, beginning with practice tomorrow. Austin Dillon, Ryan Newman, Kurt Busch, Stuart Haas, and Casey Kane from Hendrick Motorsports. 4 drivers are out. Throw it in the garbage. We are left with 12 chess players here. And the game is going to get even more interesting by the book, EG3 show, right here on KCSportsRadio.com. We'll transfer in for a few minutes the Camping World Truck Series right now, actually, here where I have a moment. Ben Rhodes, as I mentioned, you know, didn't win all year long, was very, very close at times. Dover comes to my mind, and definitely what comes to my mind is KC, where we had a lead on Kyle Busch, and debris played a factor in that as well. And what happened there, Ben Rhodes' engine expired, and he was very distraught after the race was over. But Ben Rhodes is a perfect example of that. If you bounce back, work hard enough, especially getting out of a tiebreaker, you have an opportunity to make your own magic. Ben Rhodes did that in a thrilling battle with Christopher Bell at the end of this race. Ben Rhodes gets his first ever win in NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, finally, after a couple years in the Truck Series. Rhodes gets it done and joins Christopher Bell in the round of 6. Their elimination race comes next week at Talladega, where we're going to put 6, well, add 4 more drivers to the 2 that are already in. That will make the final 6 interesting after Talladega from 8 to 6. And then, of course, 2 more eliminated after Phoenix, which will set up the final 4 in the Camping World Truck Series. Chase Briscoe finished 3rd. Austin Cindric 4th. Cass Gralla coming up big with a top 5. This is what I talked about with him a few weeks ago. He needs top 10s, top 5s, and he did just that as well. And the first 5 drivers are playoff contending drivers. Matt Crafton finished in the 7th spot. John Hunter Nemechek finished 8th. He finished in the top 10 as well. Johnny Sauter finished 10th down here. I believe that's it. So all the drivers down here in the playoffs currently did a great job. So moving on here towards the standings here real quick of the Camping World Truck Series here before we take our final timeout of the afternoon here on the EG3 show. The stage is set up for this. Bell and Rhodes are in. Crafton has to find a spot. Johnny Sauter, Chase Briscoe, and the last guy right now who would transfer would be Austin Cindric in that 19 car truck, for Brad Keselowski Racing. And the 2 drivers, Cass Gralla is 8 back, And he won Daytona in the season opener. He has an opportunity to get it done. And John Hunter Nemechek, will this be the second week in a row? We'll talk about it a little bit next week. But can John Hunter get out of the first round? Find out. He's 14 back of the cutoff. Work to do there as well. But Talladega, anything can happen. And we'll see what happens on the truck side next week when they go down to the Fred's 250 Alabama to decide the six drivers to move on to the next round. That's a next round closer to Homestead, folks. So that's going to be an exciting race. That entire weekend is going to be really, really nerve-wracking for a lot of drivers, especially the 11 who do not win, who do not get to victory lane. Obviously, there can be one winner at Charlotte, and it obviously could very likely be a playoff contending driver. We'll see going here this weekend. That one driver is going to be pretty relaxed going to Talladega while others sweat it out pretty much, especially with the type of racing that we've seen all year long on plate tracks. It's going to get even crazier. So definitely huge. The biggest weekend pretty much of the entire season rides with the 12 cup drivers who are still in it to try to continue on their journey to Homestead. EG3 show rolls along, following behind the wheel. Again, as I mentioned, once again, we'll be riding with Kyle Busch and Adam Stevens on how they pulled off a huge come-from-behind effort win at Dover and put them even closer to Martin Truex Jr., who will lead the playoff field to Charlotte with an 18-point advantage over Kyle Busch. On the other side of behind the wheel, we'll have the number of the week, and of course we'll go down the 12 drivers still chasing the championship. EG3 show returns after this timeout.
Dover on a beautiful day. It is the perfect backdrop for an elimination race.
You've got 16 drivers which entered the playoffs a few weeks ago. That field will be whittled down to 12 at the end of the day today.
400 laps, 120 your first segment. It's a good read on fire off. See where it goes. Half up.
The green flag is in the air.
Early on in the race, just didn't feel great. You know, those were the tires we qualified on. Sitting on the front row with those tires, we felt like we hurt them in qualifying, just pushing too hard, trying to get more speed out of the car than needed. We knew we were going to pay the price the first round of the race, and of course the first round of the race went green for a long, long time.
Kyle Busch really starting to climb the banking at both ends of the racetrack and leaving all kinds of room down low.
The biggest challenge to Dover is the driver controls so much by the line he chooses and how he approaches the corner. If he changes the way he's driving, he's going to give you different feedback, and he has to be able to sort through that so you can make the right changes to the car.
The line is right here, up and over the rise. The line is the closest it's been all weekend.
Going here.
I guess we're stopping.
We kind of already planned to stay out long and to try to let everybody go to pit road as much as we could and go as long as we could on fuel, because anytime we come out of the pits and we have fresher tires than anybody else, we seem to be able to drive back through them.
28 to go in the segment. Go.
The entry to calm it down. The looser it gets.
It will be stage win number 5 on the campaign for Brad Keselowski.
That's all she's got, man. I'm driving 110% right there. This left side grip as they go.
Marcus, half off you. Still inside quarter.
I feel like I probably over-adjusted for the conditions at the start of the race. And we got it coming back our way and over-adjusted the other way. And the track kept freeing up and it kind of came to us there late. Halfway, it seemed like our lap times were really starting to stabilize with the leaders. And we knew we still had a little bit of work to do on the balance, and I felt like we would have the speed we needed if we could get the balance right.
Kyle Larson sees the green checkered flag, and he wins stage 2.
Car feels better, just needs more grip. Still need to back in the track in the long run.
Green flag goes back in the air. The final 152 laps underway at the front of the field is Chase Elliott.
Nice and steady, we're keeping good pace here. Nothing coming.
Started out tighter than last run, still tight.
Let's take care of it then, see if they come back to us.
The battle heating up for the third position between Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Busch. Busch dives to the inside of Jimmy Johnson. He'll slide underneath. He'll grab the spot.
Give the advantage to Kyle Busch.
When we had a better long run car and I was able to get by Jimmy, that kind of gave me a little sense of security. Like, okay, we're okay. You know, we got a top 2, top 3 car.
Guys are starting to pit here. We're going to keep digging.
When we took those tires a little bit later than some of those other guys, it kind of came to our advantage a little bit.
Chase Elliott trying to do something today he's never done before, and that is win at this level. And right now, his advantage over Kyle Busch is 4 seconds. But it is Kyle Busch back there.
We had a couple lap advantage on tires, and our lap times were a little bit better than the 24. And mathematically, it was right in front of us that we could do it. And with the lap cars kind of slowing his progress, I really felt like we had a chance.
4.1 out front. We need a 10th lap.
I was just running for everything I had there those last 60 laps, trying to chase down Chase and to get to him and try to make a pass.
Just keep chipping here, little by little. You're catching him. Nice and steady.
A 4-second advantage has evaporated.
Chase Elliott was leading by a country mile, but it is down to car lengths.
I just decided to go back to the top and to try to get that rim ride going again and get that momentum off the high side.
Kyle is there to the outside of Elliott, side by side for the lead here in Dover.
Clear, white flag, one more.
Kyle Busch now will go to the point.
Just hit your marks here, bud.
Kyle Busch looking to steal the victory this afternoon in Dover. It's a late game rally off turn number 4 across the line. Kyle Busch wins at Dover.
Attaboy.
Yeah, stay inside and go get one. Come on.
You're the effing man, pal. You're done.
Kyle, you know, he just didn't quit. He kept moving around and kept trying to find a line to get around the cars in front of him and find something that made our car work.
It's definitely momentum you can carry forward, but I also think you got to reset. You got a new round of playoffs coming up next week. Biggest thing right now is Charlotte and putting our attention and a full court press on that one.
Reset, reset, EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. You just heard Kyle Busch, Adam Stevens. 2 consecutive wins going for a third this weekend. And Kyle Busch, again, the big monster in the room, has not won at Charlotte. That is the only track left for Kyle Busch, has not won at in a NASCAR circuit. Before we close the show on these 12 drivers real quick, want to send condolences real quick to the Yates family. Robert Yates passed away on Tuesday. Thoughts and prayers out to the Yates family and big supporters of Ford. So there is that new information there. And then obviously thoughts and prayers to everyone involved in the horrible incident in Vegas. So many are affected by that as well. Very, very unfortunate situation there. And I just can't imagine what would it be like in that situation. So very, very unfortunate. But thoughts, and we should keep our thoughts, prayers, those that are still looking for loved ones out there who are all involved in that horrible event out there, out west. So there's that information to pass along as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, 12 drivers in contention for the championship still. And obviously, I better give you this information as well. The trucks are off as well. And but the Cup and Xfinity are not. They're in Charlotte, the home game this weekend for the guys, North Carolina fellas, majority of them anyway. Bank of America 500, Sunday afternoon, 1 Central Time. PRN has coverage pretty much throughout this weekend, covering the Xfinity race as well. And NBC has flag-to-flag coverage of that as well. And we, after the end of 500 miles, we will know the driver who will probably be the most relaxed headed to Talladega here next week, and find out the others who have to race pretty aggressively out there. You can't leave anything to chance out there. So Kyle Busch definitely has the momentum, but pretty much summed up what I've been talking about throughout today's show, that each round has its own style. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And of course, Jimmy Johnson winning this race last year, putting his stamp on things. And obviously he won the first round of the next race as well. We all know what happened after that as well. Take a look at last year's standings real quick, or last year's results of the race, top 10 wise actually. Jimmy Johnson, Matt Kenseth, Casey Kane, Ryan Newman, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Tony Stewart, and Jimmy McMurray, who is in the top 12 going for the championship still. He finished in the top 10 last year. So Jimmy McMurray is going to have to do the same thing as well. So again, let's run it down. 12 drivers going for the championship still. Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, the big three, still alive. Brad Keselowski, still alive as well. And then here's what I was talking about. Underneath Brad Keselowski, since he's got the extra 20 playoff points, Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Matt Kenseth, and Jimmy McMurray rounds out the round of 12 drivers going to try to advance to the next round. So there you go. Those drivers, I believe, underneath Keselowski, don't have really much room for error, including Jimmy Johnson, who at some point or another is going to have to start winning races at some point in this playoff. And it maybe could be this weekend. We'll see what happens after that. But a lot of interesting things to keep your eyes on. Obviously, the top 12, Stenhouse, the Jimmy Johnson, the Truex, the Kyle Busch, the Kyle Larson, all hands on deck. Folks, it's going to be I believe it's going to be a show. I enjoyed the day race last year. It was supposed to be at night, but it wasn't thanks to the rain in the area, followed by a great race in the daytime, and they kept it that way this year. Obviously, and let's not forget that this is the last time that Charlotte will be an oval race for the playoffs next year. It's going to be road course racing full effect next year. And before we close, number of the week, 5. That's 5 second place finishes now for Chase Elliott. Can Chase Elliott bounce back? Can Kyle Busch win 3 in a row? Can somebody else step up and match the 18? We'll find out this weekend. It's going to wrap it up for the ET3 show this weekend right here on KCSportsRadio.com, JPEG Sports Network. I'm Eddie Greer once again, saying thank you for listening to today's episode of the EG3 Show. Charlotte, we coming for you. We out.